This is the men's room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. The trippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and blind eyes attire.
You're listening to the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
We say hello to our friends jumping on right now, 96.5 WCMF, Rochester's classic rock. Whoa. Bayou, 95.7 down in New Orleans. And our friends in Lexington, Kentucky, rocking there at Z-Rock 103. Big show for you today. Your guess is as good as mine with the categories the internets and drinking cities. As the men's room is back, another round of profile this, and we will drink and toast with the shot of the day. And today is the day we do our random question, 844-999-OLA.
Random.
Hello,
random,
Andrea.
Random,
welcome to the men's room.
Random.
Hola. Hola. All right, Andrea, I have to ask you this question. Are you actually calling us from Hawaii?
I am not actually calling from Hawaii, but
no.
I wish I was.
Boo. Okay.
I know. Weather's way better down there.
Oh, God. All right.
But see, now your phone is like a Facebook photo. It says Honolulu, Hawaii. But much like pictures that people take, it's the best angle. Is that like where you wish you were? So you just put that on the phone?
Yeah, basically.
That's not a bad plan. You know what I mean?
Right, it makes you sound
better.
You get
a phone, you get a number there. You know,
right.
What the hell is
that? Look at that. It says Honolulu, Hawaii.
We called from Honolulu? No, man. That's right. I'm a second home.
Where would you pick up? Where would you pick? You can pick any place.
Gary, Indiana.
There you go. Because everyone feels bad for you.
Do you know the Jacksons? No, I don't know the Jacksons.
Just
I heard
Tito.
From here. Yeah, sure. All right, Andrew, let's go this way.
Oh, no. She phone-donged us.
Oh, no.
She phone-donged us.
All right.
Well, I guess she got busted for not being in Hawaii.
We'll go again.
She couldn't handle
random,
the
random, random.
All right,
random,
never mind. Random, hello, Stephen. Welcome to the men's room. Random.
Hola.
Hola.
Stephen, how are you? Welcome to the program and the random question.
I'm doing great.
Wonderful. All right, Stephen, let's see here. Here's a good one. When were you scared to death, or when did you fear for your life? Every time I get on my scooter, I think this might be my last trip ever to the grocery store. And you think I'm kidding. I really do have that thought. Like, every time I put a helmet on,
I don't think you're kidding.
This
people
might be my last trip to the grocery store. All I need is one U-turning Uber, and it's all over.
Here comes the sound of thinking.
Why do we make that sound when we think? I mean, we all do.
Like, you ever been in a car with a friend who was maybe had too much to drink?
I've never really been scared for my life.
See, that's the difference.
Being just scared of something.
Okay.
Like
all right, let me ask you this. What is your natural fear? Like, okay, I have a fear of heights.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, some people have a fear of spiders or clowns or whatever.
Like, getting hurt.
You mean like emotionally? Like everybody hurts? Like we need to find Michael Stipe? Everybody hurts! Sometimes
you gotta love again, man. It's okay.
I mean, listen, the fear of getting hurt, man, it holds us all back. But deep down, you have to take that chance.
Try again.
Plunge right in.
I found my stuff. So,
are you talking about emotional pain or physical pain?
I went to my friend's house one day, and he had this little obstacle course in his backyard for bikes. So I think, yeah, I'm gonna go on that. I'm gonna be cool. I get on the bike. There's this big ramp. I tried to bail at the last second. It did not go well.
Okay. Have you ever broken any bones?
Luckily, no.
Okay. All right. Well, it's not too bad.
How about you've been stung by a bee at least?
All right. What are you, in bubble wrap?
No.
Okay. All right.
Just as hard.
Don't worry about being. But if you have a natural fear of something, you have a natural fear of something. Whatever it is. You know what I mean? Like every time.
Yeah, but if you have a healthy fear, you can avoid it, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, for the most part, like. I was going to think I'm not really like scared of sharks because I don't spend a lot of time in the ocean. But if I'm in the ocean, definitively I become scared of sharks.
I get on an escalator, look down at my shoelaces.
Yeah,
half the time I have my shoes untied. So that's I'll walk around with my shoes untied. So I get to the airport and I've just taken them off or put them back on or whatever the deal is. I don't tie them. I get on that escalator and I go, oh boy.
What about the people movers like at the airport? The sideways
as well.
I love
well.
Those things.
Mm-hmm. I do.
I
too,
will
man.
Say this with planes too. Like. I don't know why I think being over land is safer, but anytime I'm over water and there's turbulence, I get pretty scared.
You know what the difference is? It's just this. Like, look, I understand the difference. I just feel like the only real reference we have is horror movies and news stories, right? So, if you hit the ground, you feel like one of two things happens. Either this plane blows up instantly and it is painless. I mean, yes, you were S-ing yourself for 3 minutes going to crash, but hit the ground, you blow up. Or you hit the ground, you survive. You feel like there's a reasonable expectation you might get rescued, with the exception of the rugby team, soccer team.
Mm-hmm. It was a rugby team.
Rugby team in the mountains, right? the water, just everything seems really awful. Like, even if I, not the Hudson River, I mean like middle of the ocean, right? Say you're flying, yeah, I don't know, to England, and you're just dead over the Atlantic. Like, the stuff goes to your mind, man. Like, the MH18, whatever CNN's been looking for the last 5 years. Like,
the one from Malaysia.
Right. Like, they don't even find these people after time. Like, it just seems
Here is the tell on if someone is afraid of flying. And my mom is a perfect example of this.
They say, hey, man, I'm scared to fly?
No. I'll say, all right, well, I'll see you when I fly in on Saturday afternoon. What airline are you flying on? Well, the only airline that flies into West Virginia, Mom.
Right, you're in West Virginia.
What plane are you on? Well, the only plane flying into West Virginia this month, Mom. So if you hear anything in the paper and you don't see me driving home for 2 hours after I get off the plane, chances are I didn't make it.
It's always
if I knock on the door, I'll be there. What, do you have a problem?
Call me when you land.
Does she remember when you tell her?
No.
Yeah, all right. My mom asked me 100 times, but still I know when I land. It's going to take a minute, and I'll call her, and then she'll drive over and get me.
Right.
But it's always say, hey, call me when you land, so I know you got there safe. And I'm like, hey, one thing about plane crashes, you will know I did not make it before.
Immediately.
Like,
listen,
it'll ding on your phone, man.
Yeah.
Trust. Or they say, hey, have a safe flight. I'll say, man, not up to me, but I certainly hope so.
What carrier are you on? Why? Does it matter if I get peanuts or pretzels to you? Do you have a frequent flyer program that you like better than the other? Are you trying to sell me something here?
But the response is always the same. No matter what you say Delta, United, they're, Like, you didn't even ask for a reason.
What's the difference?
Dude, I have a cousin that's I'm sure he's better about it now, but when we were 19, we flew to Disney World. I didn't realize he was scared of flying. You ever had that thing where, like, out of nowhere, somebody's just grabbing your forearm and squeezing real hard?
Oh, the person who is afraid of flying?
Yes.
I've had one.
I had one once.
And he's like, I'm scared of flying. I was like, oh.
It was a woman I did not know. And I did not know she was, but it was the same thing when the plane started taking off. She kind of gripped my hand. The only thing I remember about, I knew she was scared, right? But she had a mustache.
Yeah.
And that, like, I remember exactly what she looks like.
Aunt
just
Bunny.
Because as she was scared, all I could think
Aunt
is...
Aunt Bunny!
Frank Zappa! I'm sorry, ma'am. Ma'am, I am so sorry.
Going to Montana soon. Reason we asked, when did you fear for your life? This is awful, man. I think everybody who's heard of this story, and if you haven't, man, this is just going to send chills down your spine.
Oh, good.
It took nearly 3 hours to rescue 6 people stuck in an elevator in Chicago's 4th tallest building. A broken hoist rope caused the express elevator to malfunction.
They call it the moist hoist.
While guests who had just left the signature room on the 95th floor rode down toward the lobby. The elevator and 2 others since have been closed to the public until they figure out what happened. What kept the elevator from tumbling down to the bottom of the building? Several hoist ropes held to an elevator car. You might wonder, how far did these elevators plunge? From the 95th floor to the 11th floor. Visiting from Mexico, Jamie Montemayor didn't expect her trip to Chicago to include getting stuck in the elevator. At the beginning, I believed we were all going to die. We were going down so fast, and then I felt that we were falling down, and then I heard a noise, clack, 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 clack. His wife said the elevator was moving fast, and suddenly a material that looked like dust started filtrating into the elevator. She said they found out later they had careened from the 95th down to the 11th floor. However, none of the people in the elevator were hospitalized, believe it or not. Some of the elevator passengers said security officials, staffed at the Hancock didn't immediately call firefighters. Someone who answered the phone at the Hancock security hung up.
Damn. Yeah, we understand. What? Did they get phoned on?
When rescuers scrambled to find the stuck elevator early Friday morning, there were no openings between floors because of the building's blind shaft-style layout, whatever that means. So the rescue crew...
Blind shaft, it's like a glory hole.
He had to hammer out a concrete wall in the garage area of the 11th floor.
Damn.
Then cables were dangling next to the cracked door where the people trapped in the elevator were pulled out to safety. Safety is a precarious situation. We had to break in there on top of one of the elevators. We couldn't do it.
84 floors, man.
Couldn't do a regular rescue there. City inspectors visited the Hancock in 2014 and said, hey, yeah, the elevators work fine.
Yeah, but how long is it? I mean, that was 4 years ago.
Hey, that's exactly right.
Well, now you know the time shelf on a bill of health for an elevator.
It's been less than 4 years on that. Mm-hmm. I like that they hung up when they called.
Random, nothing to see here. Move on.
Leave us alone. Random, hello, Kimberly. Welcome to the men's room.
Random. Hi.
Hola.
How you doing?
We're doing good, Kimberly. How are you? Welcome to the program.
Fantastic.
All right, let me give you a good one. We were talking about someone farting at a dart tournament there. So how about we go this way? We'll stay this way. Kimberly, who do you know that almost seems like every time they just destroy the bathroom. Who do you know that just blows up the bathroom? Friend, family member,
daughter.
Just know it's going to be
whoever
awful.
It might be.
It's my youngest son.
Okay.
How old is he?
He's 27.
He's 27. And how is he still living at home?
No.
Oh, thank God.
But okay. When he comes to visit, you just know, like, if he disappears for 5 minutes, like, you understand what has gone down and you know to avoid the bathroom.
We leave a plunger in the bathroom just for him because he clogs the toilet every time.
But you all eat the same food.
Horrible.
I mean, you've been cooked. You ate the same food all growing up, right? I mean,
I don't know what's up with him.
Has he always been a cement mixer? I mean, even as a kid, was he just dropping bombs in there?
Yeah.
And it's never changed.
Does he recognize
huge.
Us? Oh, is he?
He was born really big. By the time he was 2 weeks old, he was 17 pounds. In like 6 months, he was 36 pounds.
Good so God, he, man.
He's 6'8 now and 220.
And is his dad?
You had sex with Bigfoot, didn't you?
Yeah.
Is his dad that big?
His dad was 6'2".
Okay.
Then no, I mean, like, that's... And you're saying this giant baby you had has been plugging toilets basically for 28 years or 27 years of his life.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And how much does he weigh now?
About 220.
Well, that's not bad.
He's
6'8". He's
for
a stick.
6'8".
He's a stick, isn't he?
That seems skinny.
He's a stick full of poop. He's a poop stick. You gave birth to a giant poop.
Think
stick.
About how long it takes the poop to travel for him. You know what I mean? He's so tall. He's probably got longer.
Maybe that's why it's so much like a snowball rolling
down.
Every
downhill. Time he sits on a toilet, it's like he's on a squatty potty.
That's
reason we asked, who do you know who blows up the bathroom? New Orleans man was arrested at Willie's Chicken Shack after allegedly claiming he was going to blow the bathroom up.
Oh.
They thought he was talking about real bombs.
No,
the man in the mugshot is 30-year-old Arthur Posey, who hit up the Canal Street restaurant on the 13th. Employees told police Posey made a violent threat against the place. Y'all about to close right now because I'm going to blow this bathroom up.
Come on, man.
And cops tracked down exactly Posey. He claimed it was a giant misunderstanding, explaining he told staffers quite clearly he was going to blow the bathroom up, meaning he was going to poop his brains out.
That's what we say, man.
Cops didn't buy what Posey was selling. They arrested him. He's now facing 2 counts of communicating false information of planned arson.
Did you see a picture of the guy?
Which he says is a bunch of crap.
You know why they... come on.
Yeah. Arthur Posey.
Jesus.
More of the random question coming up. 844-999-OLA. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
That's the Men's Room coming up. If you have a question for any of us here in the Men's Room, just shoot us an email to themensroom@mensroomlive.com. Make the subject Ask the Men's Room, and away we go. In the meantime, it is our random question. 844-999-OLA.
Random, random.
All right, Miles,
random,
I don't know if we've done this before. Random, I don't know. I feel like maybe we have. Random, we're going to go to Homer, random, Alaska. Random, I don't know where in the state it is. Random. Hello, Drew. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola.
All right, Drew, where would we find Homer, Alaska, if I'm looking at a map of Alaska?
You'd locate Anchorage.
Okay.
South Anchorage, little peninsula, Kenai Peninsula.
Okay, I got an idea of where you're talking.
Do you guys have, like, a shirt with Homer Simpson on it, or is there anything like that in the knick-knack store, you know what I mean?
I'm sure you could find them in the gift shop.
All right. And this is a very critical question, I think. No matter where you are from, there's a way of describing it, right? So if you're listening to CMF, you're a Rochesterian, right? Seattle, Seattleite, Bostonian, etc. So are you like a Homer-er?
Homeridian?
Homerite.
Homerite. Cool.
Okay, Homerite.
All right, let's go with this question here. Random question style. What were you kicked out of? When have you been kicked out of someplace?
You're in Alaska. There's no way it hasn't happened.
No, kicked out of. Let's see.
I was in Alaska for three.
The bar a couple times.
You've been kicked out of the car?
The bar.
The bar. All right. Okay. And were you allowed back in, or was it just for the night?
Oh no, it was for the night. But you hang out with friends that like to pick fights. That's the way it goes.
Yeah. Did you all get kicked out, or did you end up being the fall guy?
Oh no, we all got kicked out.
Okay, all right. I guess that's a big deal when you're in Homer, Alaska. How many bars? Are there a number of bars?
There's a handful.
Okay,
handful,
but how many different people can you get in a fight with before you're fighting the same person again?
Well, they're all drunk, so.
Okay.
Okay. Right.
Anytime's a good time.
All right. Very good.
I had the guy sitting back down. My other buddy, he decided he wanted to pick the fight.
Okay. And what do you do in Homer?
I work on my hands and knees like an ugly stripper.
Oh, really? So wow. You're a dancer. Oh,
okay. Yeah, I lay floors.
Okay. All right. All right. Good work. Good work.
Okay, that's the other way of saying I lay floors.
Yeah, man.
I work on my hands and knees.
Okay. Oh, my God. Because you always got to wonder. Like, if you've been 86 from a place, how do they know? You know, like, Steve and I got kicked out of a place about a decade ago. All right?
Yeah.
So for the first time,
10
years later, we walk in this bar. Surely, after a decade, you know what I mean? They have no recollection. The staff has changed. There's been turnover at the bar. There's a new bartender, new waitresses. Oh, no. We were there for literally 30 seconds. 30 seconds and approached again.
It's like, oh.
But it was good this time.
It was good.
Yeah. It was fine.
But it was weird because the guy said, and the guy was very cool. He goes, hey, man, you know, just let bygones be bygones. I'm like, it was 10 years ago.
Yeah, we just use it as a joke for being on the air whenever we talk about getting kicked out of some place. That's it, man. Like, nothing personal to high dive. So why we asked you.
When I lived in one neighborhood, there was a lot of bars that stayed open late. Like, on Sundays, it was, I can't tell you how many times people like, hey, man, where is this bar? I left my card there.
Right.
I got thrown out and didn't close it.
Mm-hmm. Now, the reason we asked, what were you kicked out of? Here's a story from our friends up north. A 2014 Olympic gold medalist and his three teammates were kicked out of a curling tournament on Sunday for being extremely intoxicated, according to one official at the event. Wade Thurber, the facility manager of the Pitcairne Curling Center in Alberta, told the CBC that 2014 gold medal winner Ryan Fry, team captain Jamie Coe, and team members DJ Kidby and Chris Scheel were all ejected from the Red Deer Curling Classic because they were swearing and generally were so drunk the unacceptable behavior that no one wanted to watch or hear or listen to.
I just have to think that there is a lot of wiggle room at a Canadian curling center as far as getting drunk. These guys must have been like out of control.
There was some damage in the locker room and other teams complaining about their stuff being kicked around in there. So at the end of the day, it was like, okay, that's enough of this gong show. The World Curling Tour confirmed on Twitter that the team had been ejected for what it called unsportsmanlike behavior. Fry was filling in on Coe's team at the event, according to multiple reports. He was a member of the Canadian team that won gold in 2014. In a statement, the 40-year-old apologized for those in attendance. My actions were disrespectful, embarrassing. The committee was right to disqualify us from play. I allowed myself to lose control, and I offended people with my actions. I wish nothing more than to apologize to every individual. I will be taking proper steps to ensure this problem can never happen again.
Yeah, I won't get pissed drunk. That's basically what he's saying. Sorry, man.
Did you see they had a picture they had posted?
Oh, a picture of the foursome sitting at a table with 8 beer bottles and the caption, Team Corona 2.0.
That
tweet has been deleted, I guess.
Before they went. Like, it looks like four hungover guys just being like, screw it, let's have a couple beers.
Why not?
Yeah, again, just a Canadian curling center. Like,
and these tournaments, they even say, like, these tournaments get rowdy. So you're right. Like, it sounds like one guy just got blacked out.
I told you, man, I got done from taking a hike in Banff. And where we parked the car, there was the Banff Ice Center for the community, right?
All right.
It's this huge-ass building. So why not? Let's take a stroll through. Got to use the bathroom, see what's going on. Brand new facility. You walk in. The first thing you see is a gorgeous hockey rink. It's a practice facility. There's kids in there practicing. You walk about, 50 feet down. There's another one right beside it. In the meantime, all of the walls are covered with hockey players in the NHL and playing for the Canadian national team. And there's trophies and all these people who went on to, some were, stars from that area. Others, lesser known. But either way, the trophies and everything else was impressive enough. It must have been three or four practice facilities down. Then the curling area started. And I don't know what was going on that day, but everyone was in pajamas. So I don't know if it was a pajama curl or whatever the deal was, but everybody's in their onesies. They're having a good time. And it was like being at a bowling alley. There's pitchers of beer. There's people sitting in the stands. I thought to myself, you know what? This looks like a lot of fun.
Sure, man.
Yeah, it really did look like a blast. I was like, wow, they got it going on. Like, it wasn't boring, man. They're drinking pitchers. People are carrying two pitchers back to their table.
Listen.
Okay.
I'm trying to minimize the sport, and I'm sure there's plenty that goes into it. But based on what I understand about, the beer culture, I'm telling you, we just need to do a men's room curling team, right?
Mm-hmm.
We'll practice for a couple weeks, take on somebody. I'm sure we'll lose. But, look, anything that involves drinking, like you can just drink while you do it, typically it's something I enjoy.
Yeah, pool, totally.
Yeah.
Bowling. I'm not good.
Shuffleboard.
Shuffleboard. No, yeah. I'm not good at any
Pinball.
Of them. But I'm down with that.
Absolutely.
Random.
Or shuffle puck, I should say.
Yeah, shuffle.
I told my mom I was playing shuffleboard this weekend. She goes, you'll be great on a cruise. And I was like, you know, with your hand.
Have you ever been to the flat stick pub where they have a mini putt-putt inside the bar?
Not.
I got to go down there and do that. Putt-putt with pitchers of beers and there's a putt-putt indoor?
Indoor.
Yeah, down there. Yeah, absolutely.
It's a bar that has.
At the Paul Allen building?
Really?
Oh, yeah. You can go there and play miniature golf and drink beer. I've got to go.
Look,
it's on my list of things to do.
We need to form our own.
Between the tables and crap.
Well, this is what I'm saying. We need to form our own Olympic team. We can do some curling, right? You do the mini putt putt. Find a go kart place, right? I mean, whatever it is, but I'm telling you, man, this is, just take someone on, whatever team. Basically, we want to get drunk and do stuff. Hello, Aaron. Welcome to the men's room.
Liquor and horse! Although I prefer cocaine and Asian hookers.
All right, whatever you're into.
Okay.
Oh, well, let's ask him a different question.
So let's go with this one then. Do you believe in hell or Satan?
Sure, why not?
I don't know.
There's parallel dimensions and there's got to be one that's overrun and corrupt by evil.
Okay. So you believe that if you were a terrible person, that you're going to go to the fiery gates of hell?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. And you believe that the devil's down there serving drinks?
I believe the devil's down there doing whatever the hell he wants, because according to the Bible, he has all the powers of God, except that he's not able to create life.
Well, thank God for that, because no one wants to be the spawn of Satan.
Man, you know how many guys wish they had that? I got all the powers of God, but I can't get you pregnant.
Are you telling me that the devil had a vasectomy?
Yeah, basically.
All right. The reason we asked, do you believe in hell or Satan?
Yeah.
But wouldn't the devil, in the end, kind of be good for God's thing, right? Because you're telling people, look, man, don't sin. These are my Ten Commandments. Everything that you put down, okay? But you know how people are. You know how people are. So when the devil exists, then it makes God's words a little more resonant, right? If they said, okay, we're going to get rid of jails, courts, and cops, how do you think things would go? Right? If there's no fear of punishment, then asking people to be good really doesn't.
No.
I mean, look, if you give to charity, they'll give you a tax write-off. It's just understood with human nature. If there's not a punishment or a reward for your behavior, you're just going to do what the hell you want to do.
Yeah, totally. Well, if you thought the satanic panic,
Satanic panic.
Yeah, when I was down in the 80s. You know what I mean? Like, oh, no, Judas Priest, you're going to hell. Yeah. Kiss means night in Satan's service.
Yes, that's what it means.
All that crap? Yeah, that's sad. We thought that was gone in the 80s, where you go in front of Congress and all that and fight Tipper Gore. Oh, no. It's back thanks to the popularity of the Swedish metal band Ghost. They're actually very nice guys.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. They're playing the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center in Midland, Texas.
Of course they are.
And some people in the community aren't happy about it. A pastor named Larry Long expressed his concern on a local radio show.
I believe it's Long Larry.
He said, quote, I'm not in favor of outlawing the band per se, but for heaven's sakes, they need a better sense than this, and I think the community should be alarmed about it. This is not healthy. A group of locals even held a prayer meeting outside of the venue, claiming that the band would bring certain spiritual influences into the area, assuming not the good kind of spiritual influences, but either way.
They just say ghost. They didn't say evil ghost. I mean, good God, it said ghost.
Could be Casper, the friendly ghost.
Right, you mean any kind of ghost. They didn't say ghost.
That's it.
And then one, I do know, I don't know much about the band, but I do know, they, in fact, not ghosts.
No.
And don't go to the show.
Yeah, right, like, they're... No matter what you believe in and stuff, like those guys are just dressing up as a shtick. It's an act.
Yes. And they're not singing necessarily about Satan.
But here's the thing. As an adult, you're supposed to know that. See, that's the difference. Like, the kids should buy into one element. Like, when I'm a kid, there was something very cool about kids. My parents always had this S-eating grin on their face when I brought them up because they understood, as a group of silly men, wearing makeup.
Mm-hmm.
But come on, man. You're better than this.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're okay.
Yeah. By the way, if you're on hold on the random question, we just lost everybody on the phone line. So 844-999-OLA.
In theory, though, if you believe in hell, you'd have to believe in a devil.
Nah, well,
sure. I mean, otherwise, hell's just this joint that no one's
able to go to. If you're Jewish, you don't believe in hell.
So, I get it.
The Old Testament, there's no mention of hell. We don't get hell till we get Jesus.
Yeah.
So,
but there's a difference because in the Jewish, you're born into Judaism. So you don't need a hell. Like, we would ask you to follow these rules. Mm-hmm. Now, when you're asking people to do so, you're not born into it. It's a decision, faith, right? At that point, you make a decision. You have to have a negative. Otherwise, people don't buy into the positive.
Right.
There's a reason the movie The Purge came out, right? The idea is you won't get punished. They didn't say go kill someone. They just said, hey, on this day, we won't hold it against you, right? and the decision that people make is to do awful things.
Vader needs to exist.
Right, and so I don't think that's too far off from how the human mind goes. Like, look, you know, with your kids now, man, like, if I did not punish them or, you know, whatever threat you level at them, like, they would do whatever.
What is the big threat that you level on them now? What are they not, no blueberries for your daughter?
And it's beautiful. And as far as I know, only fathers really get away with this. Because there is zero substance to this, but you allow their imagination to create the fear, okay? So something goes down, and it's like, hey, do you want to have this conversation with me again? No. Look, I have nothing planned. Mm-hmm. I have nothing to tell them. Right. Honest to God. I mean, like, but there's a way you say, and I realize, like, in their mind, they have come up with some horrible scenario. The truth is, like, man, I say what I got to say. It's pretty much dumb, but
just don't do it again.
Right. But that's it. But if you say, like, hey, don't do it again, they're going to do it again. But there's a way to say, I don't think you want to have to sit here again, do you? No. But there's no threat. The threat is whatever they came up with. And the thing is, I'm terrified to ask them what they imagine. Because they might think I'm a whore. I think you're going to light me on fire. You might be like, oh, my God. Because the problem is kids believe, I kind of laid some stuff down on them in the last week. All right, I'm just sick of it. I stepped on another goddamn Lego. Right? It cuts the bottom of your foot. So,
you know, they have a contest for that.
What's that?
What, stepping on Legos?
Yeah.
Like the most in...
It's like walking on glass.
Yeah, it's like walking on fire or like hot coals.
Yeah, it's
like
called,
they do it with the, they call it like the Lego walk.
I'd almost rather walk on hot fire.
It's called the, hey, it's Christmas Day and I'm a parent walk. And but their Legos are all over the dining room table, cleaning these things off, right? So I'm just at the end of it. I'm like, hey, by the way, man, you know, like whatever you leave on the dining room table, if you don't put it away when you're done, throw it away. Like all the crap you go through. But I'm listing things off. I'm like, so your Legos? Man, you don't put them back. They're going in the trash. All your markers and all that stuff. If you guys don't put this away, it goes in the trash. I don't care if your cat's up there. She's going in the trash. About 10 minutes left. See, I assume.
No.
I assume that they understood that at this point, I'm just being an idiot. But about 10 minutes later, they both walked into my bedroom. And they look a little shell-shocked. And I'm like, what's up, guys? My son's like, cat's name is Rainbow. It's a black cat. Do the math. Before you're gonna throw the cat away. Well, I'd already forgotten what I had said. So I'm like, what the hell would I throw the cat away? And she stays on the dining room table. I said, that's right. So you better make sure
exactly.
that she gets
now,
down.
Do you have a bagless vacuum cleaner?
Like I do, the Dyson, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just pull that bad boy out and start vacuuming up Legos with the knowledge that you can get them out.
Oh, sure.
Legos now.
I'm going to let you in on a secret.
What? You've already done it?
And not on purpose. But every time I vacuum, half your Lego car.
Oh, I'll clean this up for you. Oh, that'll be good, yeah.
It's psychological warfare. It's terrible. But you know what? As a parent, you truly enjoy these moments. You really, really do. Don't make me talk to you again.
Random.
Hello, Mike. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
All right, Mike, welcome to the program. The random question. Holiday soon approaching, so we're going to go with this one. Do you have family that you just don't associate with anymore? And why don't you associate with them? You have family members you just don't see. Maybe it's distance. Could be a lot of different things.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I do have one that I don't associate with anymore.
Okay.
Stepfather.
Is he still in the picture then?
No.
Okay.
No, my mother passed away.
Ah, okay.
All right.
And was he just not a good dude, or?
We just never saw eye to eye on things.
Did he raise you, or were you long gone by the time he showed up in the picture?
No, he was, I was raised by my father and stepmother, but he was married to my mother when I was, probably from the time I was about 12 years old, 13 years old.
But you didn't live there full time, so you only saw him occasionally, right?
No, they actually, they lived out of state for a long time.
Okay.
I would go see him one month out of every year.
Now,
horrible month.
Was he, was he decent to you after your mom passed on?
I haven't talked to him since she passed on.
Ah, okay.
Okay. All right. That explains that. That's why families roll, man. You know, I mean, sometimes.
How long ago did your mom pass away?
A little over a year ago.
Okay. Also, it's fairly new. Okay. Well, at least you don't have to spend a month in hell anymore. I'm sorry to hear about your mom, but I mean, hell, that's a long time to spend anywhere. I can't imagine hanging out with anybody for a month. You know what I mean? In my family.
Right. A month at a time.
They would be tired of me after a week. Trust me, when people come out and see me after about 6-7 days, I'm like,
who comes out for 6 or 7 days?
Everybody. Oh, it's such a long flight. Blah, 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 blah. All that crap. You know, like, oh my God. It's not that far.
There's just certain things you're not used to.
Like other people in my home, man.
Yeah.
Right. You know? Like, what am I going
to
masturbate?
Or people are talking to you in the morning.
Early. Is that a tough one for you?
Yeah.
It's your mom, like, dude. You can't escape it. You
I cannot escape it. I just got to be like, it's like sometimes I got to circle back around 10 or 11 and be like, sorry, not used to somebody being in my place.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of
people. I don't want you to feel uncomfortable or anything.
But don't speak to me till 10.
I do know a lot of people who are like that. You know what I mean? And they'll say different things like, I need a cup of coffee first. Or whatever the thing is, you know, just not easy in the morning. You know what I mean? Not in the best mood.
I think for me, sometimes it just gets, right, again, I have a one-bedroom apartment. Mm-hmm. So it's just to the point of, like, I'll just say something like, you know what, I'm just going to go get some coffee. You don't have to go with me.
Yeah, exactly. I'll go, what do you need? I'll pick it up.
Sorry, Mom, I love you, but damn it.
Right.
The reason we ask, you have family you don't associate with anymore. Do you have a relative you spent a lot of time with when you were growing up? Maybe a cousin or an aunt who you haven't seen or talked to in years? According to a new survey, 74% of people said yeah. They've got a close family member they have totally lost touch with, and a quarter say they haven't seen that person in at least a decade.
I haven't seen my kids in like 2 years.
Survey also found that one-third of families have never had a family reunion. I would have to think that social media has a lot to do with that. Like, I'll see pictures of people that I haven't seen in over, but I'll see the picture and go, oh, they're doing all right, they're alive.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how many times we've done like a family reunion, and you call it that, but like, you go somewhere the holiday, and like everyone in the general vicinity is there. You know what I mean? You don't call it a reunion, but it's the exact. It's probably more people are there than we go to a family reunion.
That's what I say for the record. I'm close with all my cousins.
That's it.
Except Johnny.
Yeah, exactly. More of the random question coming up. 844-999 Ola. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Ola Bichola. You have entered the men's room.
Your guess is as good as mine. Coming up, the categories today will be the websites that launch the internet and drinking cities. Your guess is as good as mine. Coming up after our random question. Question 844-999-OLA.
Random. Hello, random, Jeff. Random, welcome random, to the men's room. Random.
Liquor and whores.
Liquor and whores.
Random, all right, Jeff. Random, let's see here. Random, we'll go with this one. Bringing out the inner hoarder in you. And not really necessarily being a hoarder, but what is the one thing that you have held on to for the longest time, and why have you held on to? Man, there's a couple dumb things I've got. Like,
I know, I'm really thinking about it.
I've got a high school yearbook in a box somewhere. Like, well, who needs that? I mean, I'm used to it. Like, you know what I mean? I know who I went to high school with.
All right, I've got a tote?
A
tote full of guitar magazines that I've collected since I was about 15 years old.
All right, so
I still have them today, and I'm 43 years old.
Do you ever actually flip through them?
I do, absolutely.
Okay.
Instead of checking the internet or YouTube, I bring it back to the books, to the songs that I used to play, Megadeth, Van Halen, AC/DC, and break them out and just try and get those riffs over and over.
We
again.
Sit down with Rudy Sarzo.
Hey, man, back in the day, yeah, that was the jam. Exactly. Like, you got my money.
So how many do you think you have?
I definitely have about 60 to 75 magazines.
Now, do you ever, like, I have some stuff like that, and but every once in a while, I think to myself, as the kids are playing, I'm like, man, if we have a fire, this thing that I refuse to get rid of is really going to just set the place ablaze. Like, this is going to be on me.
It's going to be up like a tinderbox, absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know why we do it, man. But, yeah, there's certain things like that I have to keep around.
Okay, all right. The reason we asked, is there anything that you keep personally that you have? I've got a couple of things, like a jersey from playing football that I held on to. For no reason. There's no reason I have it.
You know, man, I'm not too bad now. I probably would be worse. I've just lost so much stuff along the way.
Right.
But, I mean, at this point, like, my vinyl, music equipment, does that even count?
I've got my mom's lava lamp from 1972 or whatever, when she was in college. It's a nice one. It's like, it's got half moons and stars in it, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Are there non-nice lava lamps? Anyone looked at a lava lamp and said, that's a ghetto lava lamp.
The base of them now are all plastic. And this one was like a nice big metal thing that had
do they still get hot as hell?
Oh, yeah, and still has the original wiring, so I'm always afraid to plug the damn thing in for fear that I'll burn it.
Yeah, you might not want to do that.
No, exactly. The reason we asked, what is the one thing that you
put on the record? You brought up the yearbook. I will say this. I still have a yearbook. It's not for... There's just pictures in that yearbook of stuff you and your friends were doing.
Sure,
or your
class,
that you just, when you look at them, they look so dated. Like, it's kind of funny.
There's a guy I went to school with named Anthony Hughes. And unfortunately for Anthony, he was featured in the yearbook because at that point in time, they allowed a vending machine to go into our school.
Okay.
They had a Coke machine, but it had juice in it. So you,
right?
I mean, what's the difference on the sugar, right? Well, we know better now, but at the time, it was like, oh, you're going to drink something healthy. Here's some sugar water.
Right.
But it was a big deal. So he's at the machine, and it's a black and white picture, and it says, here is senior Anthony Hughes enjoying a lunch of junk food.
Oh,
I just thought, like, you know what I mean? Because that's what they called it. You know, you're like, they're going to allow junk food in the schools. So I guess it's worth it to hold on to it for them. The Beastie Boys ended up hating their first single, in case you don't know. You got to fight for your right to party. It was supposed to be a joke, mm-hmm. but they couldn't stand the song, so much so that they never played it live after their 1987 tour. But one element remains, a giant, 20-foot-tall hydraulic penis. It would pop up on stage when they did the song. It's still out there somewhere, waiting to be discovered on one of those storage war-type shows. Ad Rock, by the way, says they've been paying storage locker fees to house that thing for 30 years. They haven't.
Wouldn't you?
Dang. He adds, quote, it seems funny at the time, but you got to really think before you say or do stuff. Think about the people you care about most. Will they be embarrassed for you and your life? Yes, they will. That's why we've kept this penis in storage.
You got to keep it.
30-foot, 20-foot penis.
You have to keep
inflatable,
it.
Inflatable, like one of those guys on the side of the road that dances.
Hola. The shenanigans continue on the Men's Room Radio Network.